Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knitter ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
Stu does America.
You asked for it, and we're unfortunately giving it to you yet again. It's 24 hours of The Christmas Twist, the ridiculously fantastic Christmas movie we did many years ago, and it'll be streaming exclusively on the Stu Does America YouTube channel on Christmas Day. Be sure to subscribe now, youtube.com/Stu Does America. You will get it all day, repeated like 100 times. It's a lot of fun. I will say, a lot of people just kind of flip it on in the background as they're doing Christmassy stuff, and then are like, wait, what did Pat Gray just say? So it's a lot of fun. Speaking of the holidays, there is some time still to grab gifts at studosmerch.com. I don't know if they're going to show up before Christmas. Probably not, honestly, at this point, but you can still grab them before Christmas. Use the code STU10, get 10% off your entire order. Sarah Gonzalez is going to be here to tell me which stories pissed her off the most this year. The New York Times finally says out loud what the rest of us have known about Biden's immigration policy from the very beginning. But we start by doing ABC's $15 million mistake. Yes, George Stephanopoulos and ABC are apologizing to Trump. They are forced to pay $15 million to settle a defamation suit. And it is a fascinating tale for a bunch of different reasons. First of all, it just feels good. Right? Like, they've lied about Trump so many times for them to actually get caught in one of these lies. It just feels kind of nice. Makes you have a good warm holiday glow. According to the settlement, ABC News will pay $15 million as a charitable contribution to a presidential foundation and museum to be established by or for the plaintiff, as President of the United States of America have established in the past. Additionally, the network will pay $1 million in Trump's attorney fees. So $1 million for the attorney fees. So I guess it's technically a $16 million mistake. And $15 million not going directly to Trump, but to build his presidential library, which is oh so fun to hear that ABC News is going to build the presidential library of Donald Trump. I mean, that is just very, very fun. Stephanopoulos and ABC News also had to issue statements of regret as an editor's note at the bottom of a March 10th, 2024 online article about comments made earlier this year that prompted Trump to file the defamation lawsuit. The note reads, ABC News and George Stephanopoulos regret statements regarding President Donald J. Trump made during an interview by George Stephanopoulos with Representative Nancy Mace on this week, March 10th, 2024. Now, to be very clear up front here, I have very strong feelings on the accusations from E. Jean Carroll. These are my own personal feelings, but I don't think this thing happened at all. I've made that very, very clear on the air with you 100 times. I don't think this event occurred. This is my opinion to the very litigious people out there who are who might be watching. But like, I don't buy it at all. I've looked at the case. I just don't think it happened. That's just my own personal opinion, whether they even were even in the room together at any particular moment other than a quick snapshot of a picture that we've seen from the past. But generally speaking, I don't think this happened at all. So that's where we start. I don't think his conviction in a secondary court case was accurate or real. So I start there. But what this boils down to is interesting. It boils down to something George Stephanopoulos said, saying that Donald Trump was liable for rape. This is going to be, by the way, not a great one for your kids today, because we're talking about stuff that, I mean, I've already said the word rape, but you get the point. It's not going to be necessarily interesting. This goes back to, it's not going to be interesting for the kiddies. This goes back to New York's, I would argue, very strange rape law. I mean, you think rape, kind of obvious what's going on there, but I guess there are degrees of this according to the law. And I will say, part one, I don't think he actually raped E. Jean Carroll or sexually assaulted E. Jean Carroll. Number two, I'm kind of happy that ABC News has to kind of come up here and with a giant payment and look pathetic and admit their mistakes. And I can't help but find just a little bit of glee in all that occurring. But I am a little torn on this one. And I'll tell you why, because this is, it's an interesting development. Let me give you a little more background on the mistake or the slander, if you will, of what George Stephanopoulos actually said. This goes back to the case with E. Jean Carroll. He's interviewing Nancy Mace, and there is a memorandum opinion denying defendants Rule 99 motion, or is that 59? I don't know. My eyes are terrible. It doesn't really matter if it's Rule 59 or Rule 99. Who cares? The point is, what was he actually found guilty of? Now, this is, again, not a court, not a criminal court. We're in the secondary part of that whole thing. It's like the OJ thing, right? Like, couldn't find him guilty in the criminal court. They found him guilty in a civil lawsuit. This is the same thing that happens with Donald Trump. He has to pay all this money to her, and they go through, and they do find him liable for a bunch of stuff. And what they do is they find him liable for sexual assault, not rape. In fact, they very specifically say he was not liable for rape. That is in the case. But to understand this, you have to understand the New York law, which is really weird. This is what the actual secondary kind of side opinion from the judge says when they're talking about the rape claim. And again, this isn't the most fun thing, but here it is. As is shown in the following notes, the definition of rape in New York penal law is far more narrower than the meaning of rape in common modern parlance. Its definition in some dictionaries, in some federal and state criminal statutes, and elsewhere. The finding that Ms. Carroll failed to prove that she was raped within the meaning of the New York penal law does not mean that she failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as many people commonly understand the word rape. Indeed, as the evidence at trial recounted below makes clear, the jury found that Mr. Trump, in fact, did exactly that. Now, wait a minute, what? So basically, he's not guilty of rape, but the judge is saying he is guilty of rape, though. What's fascinating about that is basically to not go too far here in the explanation. I'd like to keep this as family friendly as humanly possible. But basically, the way the New York law works is sexual assault includes digitally penetrating in one of these situations. Rape means you have to use your male sex organ, your junk. That is basically what they say. So they say, even though she accused him of using his junk, somehow the jury was like, we believe her that other stuff happened down there, but he didn't actually use his... I don't know. Like, this is a weird jury to me. And again, to be clear, I don't believe these claims at all. I don't believe them. I mean, it's just true. You look at the evidence, you read all about it, you read too much about it. It's so, there's so many different issues. We've gone over them before. I don't believe the claims at all. But that being said, in the mildest defense of George Stephanopoulos, that is basically what the court said. The court, I believe, incorrectly said that he did these things. And frankly, like in many other circumstances, this would be rape. Like it follows, as they point out from the judge, it follows the dictionary definition of the word rape. It follows the military code of conduct for rape, other states and jurisdictions. But in New York, it doesn't quite hit that standard. Now, this is clearly a mistake, to be clear. This is really a mistake by George Stephanopoulos. He's a news guy. He's got to know the difference in the New York law, and he's got to know that he was not found liable of rape. Saying someone is liable of rape, typically pretty bad when it's not true. You want to make sure you nail that one when you can. But secondarily, like, he was found liable of sexual assault. That's true. The judge is saying it's the dictionary definition of the word rape. And, like, the fact that he made that mistake is a mistake. Should he apologize for that mistake? I think, yeah. I think the statement is correct. He should say that. But is that really a $15 million mistake? I mean, the judge himself said it's the common parlance of the word. You know, I mean, I just think there's an interesting line here to discuss, and what does it mean for everybody? Because, you know, like, I do a show where I'm on the air 3 hours on radio and 1 hour on TV. Like, if some Democrat criminal wound up doing what they accused, I believe falsely, Trump of doing, I don't think I would have a real problem summarizing that as rape. Again, it's the dictionary definition of the word. So What are they going to do with this? I guess is my question. What are they going to do with this new power they've uncovered here? I'm always curious by that. What precedent does it set? ABC News is supposed to be a news organization, right? So I understand they have a higher standard than, you know, people blabbing on the internet. But still, it is weird, and it's weird that they didn't fight that. And I think there might be a reason why. Now, I was talking to somebody about this earlier, and they're like, well, you know, yeah, $15 million is a lot of money, but Trump's $85 million civil verdict against him for defamation of E. Jean Carroll is BS, too. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's such a stupid idea, right? Like, they're saying, well, he's going to go into court and say he didn't rape her, and then when he says that publicly and says, I never did any of that, she's lying, then he gets sued for defamation and has to give up $85 million. I completely agree. That's a total BS verdict. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we should just start doing this to everybody every time they make a misstatement. Again, I don't know. I'm a little worried about it. Now, if you're a news organization, why are you not fighting this if you're ABC? Why are they giving up? Think about their audience for a second. Like, their audience is a bunch of people who can't stand Donald Trump. And now they're going to come get news from the organization building his presidential museum? Is that a weird move? Were you surprised by that at all? I was very surprised they gave in on that. I mean, I could see that whole thing going down to the wire, Donald Trump winning the case and them awarding him a dollar. Like, you know, I could see that happening. Maybe even $1 million or $1,000, $100,000. But $15 million is a lot of money. Now, I will say, with George Stephanopoulos, here's a guy who's been on TV forever. Has he made ABC News $15 million in his entire career? I don't know. Maybe he has. But, I mean, that's wiping out a lot of his value if they have to give up $15 million. And look, at the end of the day, Disney, which owns ABC, can eat $15 million, and it's probably not that big of a deal. However, can the podcaster you listen to? Not this one. Of course, I never make a mistake. But like, I don't know, some person coming up with 1 million followers on Twitter is 26 years old. Are they going to be able to deal with a $15 million verdict when some left-wing organization or left-wing person comes after them for slightly misstating the difference between sexual assault and rape? I don't know. Probably not. Like, they probably just fold up operations at that point. And I just think that it's something we should step back and think about a little bit before we get too excited. Although, we also should just be kind of excited that, I mean, what I want more than anything else is the apology. Donald Trump is probably excited about getting $15 million donated to his museum from ABC. And I think maybe somebody online proposed building a giant ABC's horrible mistakes wing of the Trump Museum, which it would be a worthwhile expense. So that will be really, really fun. But the mistake and the actual apology is probably the chef's kiss to Donald Trump. I think he wants that more than anything else. What's fascinating about that, and let me switch gears a little bit here and talk about another person admitting the truth after many, many years. There was another lie told a while ago in the Duke LaCrosse case where this, if you remember the case, a stripper went to a party. She was there. She left the party. She then accused a bunch of the people at the party of rape. The claims seemed very sketchy, even from the very beginning. A bunch of Democratic officials got on board trying to elevate their careers and went really far and said, basically, this is true, tried to basically ruin these guys' lives. I have a friend of a friend who was on the Duke lacrosse team at the time, wasn't even at the party, but when every time he would send out resumes, that would always be a conversation point. And usually a conversation point would be like, yeah, I can't bring a Duke lacrosse player into my freaking, in my office around a bunch of women. Like, I can't do that. You kind of understand it from an employer's standpoint when you're in the middle of that situation, even though the case wound up blowing up. But the stripper involved never really paid a price for it. She did wind up paying a price later on, because she murdered her boyfriend with a kitchen knife. Sometimes that winds up burning you. Now, I think if she did it in New York or, you know, under Alvin Bragg, maybe in L.A. these days, she'd probably be fine for a murder of her boyfriend. Just say that he was part of the patriarchy, you'd probably get off on that one. But at the time, she didn't have that defense. She wound up going to prison. She's there for a very long time. Now she's coming out and telling the truth, finally, about the Duke LaCrosse situation. Murderous stripper, which is a good band name. Murderous stripper at center of Duke lacrosse rape scandal finally admits she made it all up and begs for forgiveness. I want to show you this clip, and it's about a minute and a half or so. It comes from a show called Let's Talk with Kat. And I wanted to see the full context of this clip, so I watched the entire episode of Let's Talk with Kat, trying to understand what the hell it was, because it was one of the strangest broadcasts I've ever seen in my life. She starts it with this like, "Hi, it's your favorite Eastern European journalist here, and I'm talking to stripper." And she goes through this weird intro, and it's about a 10-minute interview. About 8 minutes of it are her asking questions like, "What's the worst thing about the, you know, about the food here in prison?" It's like really like strange and like has nothing to do with anything. So I would not recommend necessarily watching the entire thing, but this clip I'm gonna give you here, because apparently the genesis of this was this woman, Crystal Magnum is her name, the stripper. She apparently decided she wanted to admit to this on camera and asked for this. She was the genesis of this. She kind of asked to say, "Hey, I'd like to say this on camera because I know I did something wrong." Here she is apologizing and telling the truth about these claims that the left believe. Remember, believe all women. Remember that. They all believed her at the time. They all tried to ruin everybody's life involved. Here she is now talking about not only that she actually wasn't raped, but also an awakening she's had through Christ. It's fascinating.
The Bible says that you shouldn't do harm to your neighbor that lives trustingly beside you. And they were my brothers, and they trusted me that I wouldn't betray their trust. And I testified falsely against them by saying that they raped me when they didn't. And that was wrong. And I betrayed the trust of a lot of other people who believed in me. And made up a story that wasn't true because I wanted validation from people and not from God. And that was wrong when God already loved me for who I was, regardless. I didn't need to seek validation from him because I already had validation from him. I just didn't know it. And I hurt my brothers. And I hope that they can forgive me. And I want them to know that I love them. And they didn't deserve that. And I hope they can forgive me. I hope that they can heal and trust God. And know that God loves them. And that God is loving them through me, letting them know that they're valuable and that they didn't deserve that.
It's kind of fascinating, right? I mean, I think rightfully so. It's not like we're going to let her out of prison. First of all, she's in there for murder. Secondly, you know, it's not just something like this little thing, right? Like you tried to ruin a bunch of people's lives by lying about them raping you. That being said, it does, I don't know, to my eye, seem kind of legitimate as a transition for her. I mean, she's citing things like a couple things I wrote down. She testified falsely against them. She was looking for validation from people and not from God. She said, "God already loved me for who I was. I didn't have to do that." These are like not just slogans, right? These are things that you have to get from reading the Bible. And it does seem like she's had some sort of religious or spiritual awakening. And I think that that's a real positive thing. I certainly want to believe it, whether it's true or not. And I think like you look at a situation like this, and I don't know that I would have the strength if I was one of those Duke lacrosse players to be like, "Hey, you know, like, you're forgiven." Like, it would be really, really hard to do that, to be honest with you. But it would be a great ending to the story. I mean, if they could bring themselves to get to that place where they would go and visit her and say, "Hey, like, you know, I'm still really mad about all that, but like, you know, you're forgiven, certainly in God's eyes and in mine as well." That would be an amazing turn to this. I mean, you hope that something good can come out of it. She should still stay in prison because I don't want her to murder anyone with a kitchen knife. But That being said, it's a fascinating turn in a story that kind of goes away. And it's like, you know, when all those stories are active, the left, the media comes after you and says, you know, you believe all women, you know, you can't question anybody's, no one would ever, remember these, remember they were saying these things? No one would ever say a false thing that they were raped. It's terrible for them. It puts them under the microscope and they would never do that. But of course, we have so many examples of people doing it. Why? Because people at times are really horrible, right? And they are. And that doesn't mean necessarily that that's the way they have to end up. And I hope, I really do hope that this particular woman has had a real awakening. And maybe there's something that can be put together to squeeze a little bit of good out of a really terrible situation. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everyone. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash now, 1,000 times your money. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It is simply the best way to get action on sports in most states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. It's the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. I had this happen to me a couple weeks ago with one of my Prize Picks lineup, where a tight end I had in my lineup wound up getting injured in the first half, and I wound up getting my entire ticket refunded because of this particular policy, which I love. They also invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. They also have like really cool discounts where like be like, I think it was Patrick Mahomes maybe this week, that it was over, it was more than 0.5 yards. Now, Mahomes didn't have the best day, wound up getting injured, still threw for more than 0.5 yards. They'll give you these like free squares. It's fantastic. You got to download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code StuSports. When you get there, you get $50 instantly after you play your first $5. The code is StuSports on Prize Picks. You get $50 instantly when you play only five. It's Prize Picks. Run your game.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mild würzig, je 150 Gramm Packung, nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
I'm joined now by Sarah Gonzalez, host of Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered, right here on Blaze TV. Make sure you're watching that, of course, every single night. Sarah, thanks for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to do it.
It's been an interesting year.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, if you think about, you go back to the beginning of the year and we had that entire, like, I mean, remember the primary? It seems like 100 years ago, right?
Yeah, vaguely.
And then you have the whole Biden-Harris thing going back and forth. You have, of course, the election with an actual good result for once. Mm-hmm. It has been an amazing year. When you look back at it, what do you remember this year for?
So I was just having a conversation with my 12-year-old son, and I'm trying to explain to him the significance of not just the last year, but the last 5 years, honestly, with COVID hitting and everything shutting down and in unprecedented manner. You've got the government not letting people go to work, but they're, you know, signing away all of our tax dollars to go to relief bills. And, you just look at the culmination of 2020, whether or not you believe that that was the safest and most secure election of all time is up to you. Mm-hmm. But there were questions.
Yes.
You know, then you had the disastrous 4 years of Joe Biden at the helm of things, all of the importing of the third world. I mean, I'm like, son, you don't understand what I'm about to tell you, but we are living in the most insane timeline that when you get a little older, this is what the history books are going to be written about. Donald Trump's comeback from
incredible
91 indictments, 34 felony counts, you know, the raid at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, you look at just everything that they have thrown at this man, two assassination attempts.
Yeah.
And you look at the comeback of this man who has had everything thrown at him and is now about to be sworn in as the 47th president of the United States is the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
It's completely nuts. Like, if you were to build a series around this, you'd just be like, all right, that's implausible.
Right.
Like, it's like a bad season of House of Cards.
Yep.
And yet here he is coming back in. You mentioned, I mean, I didn't even mention it. You mentioned it last almost. The man was almost killed on stage in front of all of our eyes.
Yep. Like on live TV.
That would be the ultimate story of most years. And this one, like, it almost feels like we didn't really ever process it.
1,000%. Because we're living in the most insane timeline, there were 10 other things going on at once that was so unprecedented. You mentioned the Biden-Harris, you know, the coup in the Democrat Party that was taking place right after that.
Yes.
That everyone started to talk about. And so it's become just so insane to me. I mean, we talked off air that I was just like, I thought that it would slow down after the election, but it's still just like drinking from a fire hose. It's just nonstop right now. I can't wait to see what the history books actually say about this, because obviously we'll know
we
if they're
like
written
it.
Accurately or not.
Whatever it is, we won't like. I was talking to my son who decided a little while ago he wanted to put some of his money in Bitcoin. Which is, by the way, good call by him.
I can't imagine how he was driven by that.
I know. Well,
would have given him that.
It's a crazy thing. and so he bought in at like, I think it was like 46,000 of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he put some of his own money in and everything. I was like trying to teach him about investments.
Yeah.
And pretty much every single day since he put a dollar into this thing, it has gone up. And I keep explaining to him, like, this is not normal. Don't get used to this. It hit 107,000 today per coin. This is not like most of your investments will give you like 10% a year, not 10% a day.
Right.
And it, I think like that is like how I feel with the news.
Uh-huh.
Like I think the difference is Bitcoin will probably drop by 70% at some point soon because it always does. I don't think we're ever going back. I feel like this is going to be Trump or not. The reality of our lives, where every single day is this constant barrage, it's drinking from the fire hose all the time, and I don't think it ever reverses. It's a terrifying thought, honestly.
Yeah, it is a terrifying thought. I will just say, though, I do think that there is a stabilization that can take place if Donald Trump comes in and does what he says he's going to do, especially with the border. So you mentioned drinking from a fire hose. Yes, in the sense that the mainstream media will still be up to their old tricks.
Yep.
They'll still be, you know, oh my gosh, look at this family that was torn apart by Donald Trump's mass deportations.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Like, we're going to get that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think the American people just, they have to understand that it's coming, recognize that it's coming. We know they're going to do it. And so just don't let it affect you. Consider it just noise, because it has to be done. And once it is done, and once it is implemented, we do have a little bit of stabilization, but it's just going to be a rocky road to get there. So on that actual issue, and I think there are some others where you can say, okay, we're in for rocky times, but once we get past that, we can actually maybe slow down a little bit. It's just going to be a process to get there, and the American people have to be prepared for that wait and prepared to just tune out Rachel Maddow like I always suggest they do.
That's always a good idea. I do think, though, it's going to be difficult for them to do that at
times. I agree.
You know, like you think of like Javier Milei, right? Like he's putting these policies. They've had some rocky times. Things are already stabilizing. But, you know, that's a difficult transition. I think with, you know, with Trump, you mentioned the border, you're going to get all those stories.
Yep.
If Doge comes in and starts firing people, every good employee from the federal government that has a sob story about like how they were sick or they have children or whatever it is going to be featured on the news. You got to be ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, if he puts in big tariffs, these prices will go up for at least some period of time. And you're going to have to deal with that. I think people who know Trump, who are familiar with his policies, who like him, who like his vision, are going to be okay and going to be able to deal with that for some period of time.
Sure.
But like the middle people, the people in the middle that were not really sure about the election, maybe voted even for Trump, but weren't sure on the borderline, those people are going to have a tough time with those reports. Those people are going to have a tough time. And it's going to be interesting to see if Donald Trump can do enough that excites people to offset what might be a, you know, short-term negative.
And that's why he has to be ready to hit the ground running on day one. Get ready. Get all of your... I'm not a fan of executive orders. I just recognize that that is the way that they
It's the world.
Rule now, right? So get all those executive orders ready to undo all of Joe Biden's damage and be ready to hit the ground running, because in my opinion, you have 2 years, not four. Right. I don't think that we can just accept, oh, well, Donald Trump was elected, therefore the Republicans are going to maintain control throughout the entire 4 years. That's not typically the way that it works. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be the way that it works right now, especially when we're talking about a lot of uncomfortable policies that are right for the country. And Donald Trump is the right man to do it. But it's not going to feel good watching on TV. So I do think he, like, be ready, get as much done as you can so that you're signing it and you're doing it, because you have a limited amount of time.
You have, what, a 2-seat majority in the House that can easily go away.
1,000 with these Republicans? Who needs enemies with friends like these?
Right, exactly. And, you know, you have that going on. Plus, you have, you know, it's interesting because Glenn was at Mar-a-Lago and was talking to Trump a few weeks ago. And Glenn said something similar to that, like, you know, hey, you got to make sure you know you only have 2 years here. And he says, 2 years? I got 100 days. And I think that at the very least, it's the right way to think about it. It's how he should be approaching it. Because if you think about it, he's got all these, you know, nominations that are going to take time to push through. Some of them will be easy. Some of them are going to be very hard. He's going to have the executive orders, which will obviously be something he can control, but also a lot to take on and get done. And then he's going to have this one bill. Right. This one reconciliation bill that he's going to be able to pass something, likely some sort of tax cut, I hope, along with a bunch of other policies. You know, what's your outlook here for the Trump? Are you enthusiastic? Are you optimistic?
Well, if you couldn't tell by my necklace that says MAGA on it.
There you go. I guess you are
extremely optimistic about the future.
What part of it are you excited about? Like, I'm excited about the Doge thing.
I really want it.
I want it to work. I don't know if it's going to work, but I want it to work.
I don't know if it's going to work, but I believe that if there were any two people that could make it work, it would be the two people that he put in charge of it, which is Elon Musk and Vivek, right? Yeah. I do think that if there's it's them. I hate to say excited about mass deportations, but it just needs to happen. Like, we need criminals who are not supposed to be here out of our country. It was a traitorous act that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris perpetuated on the American people. And I think that it needs to be undone. I understand it makes people uncomfortable. I just think that the security and safety of our country is worth it.
I think what you're talking about there, and by the way, I have incredible immigration stuff coming up in our next segment from the New York Times, which is amazing. You have to see this. But what you're talking about is not even mass deportations. It's the return of the rule of law.
You're right.
Right? Like, it's not like you're like, hey, I'm rooting for people to have to be upended in their lives. Mm-hmm. But first of all, if they broke the law, that's what's supposed to happen. Yep. But it's just like, hey, things might make sense again.
You're right. Well, and the rule of law, but extend that everywhere, right? Yeah. Extend that to the weaponized DOJ, the weaponized FBI, all of these. I mean, if one thing is clear, it's that he doesn't just need to be ready to hit the ground running with an executive order for everything he needs done, but also he needs to be ready to drain the swamp and all of those people, all of the deep state that still exists within the FBI, within the DOJ, within all of these places that are supposed to then carry out Donald Trump's vision. So it's a two-pronged approach, because he's got to get rid of those people while also changing the policy. I just believe that he is the man for the time. The assassination attempts, everything that has happened to him, the lawfare that has been waged on him, everything that has happened to him has led him to this point of clarity. And that's why I'm really, really excited about it.
I'm pretty optimistic, too. I mean, I think he is a different guy since the assassination attempts. Even,
I agree.
You know, I mean, it seems that way. Glenn has told me that talking to him off the air as well.
That I love that Glenn keeps getting to talk to him. Where's hilarious. Do you get an invite?
It's hilarious. No,
I don't get an invite.
He told me a story today. He's like, oh, yeah, I called him in 2006 or what was it? I guess it was 2019 or something. And I just called him up and I said, hey, here's the thing I want. And would you ever consider doing this? And I'm like, what? What is this world? You don't talk to presidents. Like, you're not supposed to. But, you know, that's a good Glenn is Glenn, and just thinks of it as if it's nothing. But like, when I look at what he's doing and I look at the people he's, you know, putting in, you know, it just feels like there's just a return to, it's funny because Joe Biden was pitched as a return to normalcy. Mm-hmm.
The adults are back in charge.
The adults are back in charge. Yep. And it feels like the opposite is true. They put in people who didn't know what they were doing, people who got their jobs because, you know, for example, they were a man posing as a woman.
Sure.
They were a Corinne Jean-Pierre, like, just like because she's black,
the
gay,
first
female.
Black lesbian, right. Female.
And like, that's not America.
Right.
America is merit. Mm-hmm. Merit. And that has been dead for a long time. You got 20 seconds on this. Let me know. What do you think we're going here?
I think you are going to see the coalition of an alliance of people who never would have thought that they would come together, especially with Tulsi. You've got Tulsi, you've got RFK, you've got these people who understand we need to return to meritocracy. They understand what time it is. And I do think that they will take advantage of this point in time.
Oh, it would be nice to hear, because it's nice. We got some good results this year. Maybe we'll have some good results here in the next 4 years. Could be a big difference in all of our lives. Sarah Gonzalez, make sure to catch her on Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered right here on Blaze TV. Don't miss it. Sarah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
With the world being as crazy as it is, why wouldn't you think it's a good idea to have some emergency medicines on hand, just in case you need them? Because you don't know. Supply chains are wild. You know, you've got a situation where you could be a terrorist attack or something that's affecting the supply here in this country. You better make sure you've got a backup, right? The good news is there is something you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have medical care when it's needed. A solution that thousands of people have already discovered. It's called the Jace case. It'll allow you to start stocking up on medication right now so you are prepared. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. You just gotta fill out a quick form online and you'll have it in case you need it. Just do it once and you'll be ready. In case you need they've got a compounded version of ivermectin available now. This is just a $30 add-on to the Jace case. So go to jace.com, enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at jace.com. It's jase.com.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Rock. Rockt. Der neue T-Rock.
Fascinating article in the New York Times. That's true. I'm really saying that. The largest immigration surge in U.S. history. Putting in perspective the recent immigration and scale of that immigration to America. Let me give you some of these points because they're fascinating. The immigration surge since 2021 has been the largest in U.S. history. Let me show you the numbers on this. This is the average annual change in foreign-born population, a share of the total U.S. population. Now, here you go. And you see the immigration is obviously very high from like 1850 down to, you know, about 1900. It gets pretty low there and actually is a little bit negative in the 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s. And then it becomes positive again in the 70s. When I say positive, I don't necessarily mean good, but I mean like, you know, plus numbers. And then it rises, goes down. Actually, the 2010s, it's the lowest it's been since immigration, since the 70s. But then a massive increase. About 2 million per year, about 0.6% of the population. And this is how they explain this in the article. Even after adjusting for today's larger population, the surge is slightly larger than that during the peak years of Ellis Island. Did you approve that policy? I don't remember approving that policy. Higher than Ellis Island traffic. That is absolutely incredible. More details from this story. Because I do have one problem with the story. I'll tell you about it here in a second. The share of the U.S. population born in another country has reached a record high. Here's that chart. New high. 15.2% of the population is foreign-born. It's like the NBA. Really, really, really high numbers of foreign-born players these days. In the 1900s, this is about 15%. It's actually higher than that technically now, 15.2%. Why did this happen? You might be able to spit that out without even thinking about it. Joe Biden, right? And you might say, what does the New York Times come up with an answer to that? Let me give it to you. President Biden's welcoming immigration policy has been the main reason for the recent surge. No qualifiers there. That's what they put on amazingly. And then they say after a crackdown, fewer arrests. And this is a little bit of a misleading chart because it is the numbers of arrests are way down. The border encounters are way down since they had some of these changes in policy to try to win the election. That being said, you see, if you look before the days of Joe Biden, it's still pretty high. I mean, the numbers are still pretty high in comparison to those days, comparison to Trump, or even honestly going back before this chart into the Obama years. Absolutely fascinating story. Really breaks this down really well. David Leonhardt is the author of the story. I only have one problem with it, and it comes actually right under his name. And what it says is December 11th, 2024. Now, The outcome of the election was what I thought it should be and was happy that it was. That being said, this article might have been better on October 11th, 2024. Maybe December 11th is a little too late, because maybe this guy could have been president again, doing the same things to us again. It would have been nice to have this information a little bit earlier. Now, of course, we did have the information. We talked about it quite a bit. Lots of people on the right talked about it a lot. But it was denied on the left. We were told that actually he's been tougher on immigration than anybody, from Corinne Jean-Pierre. Would have appreciated that argument just a teach, just a little teensy little bit earlier would have been nice. But hey, late to the party is better than not showing up to the party at all. The holidays are here, and if that was not enough to worry about getting the gifts and making sure you don't screw all that up, did you know there's a heightened risk of data theft and fraud during the holidays? Hackers know you're shipping in a hurry. They know during the holidays you're going on sites. Do you go on some of these kind of shady-ish sites? I ordered a present for my wife the other day. It can't be more than a 30% chance this thing actually arrives. It's just one of those sites I was like, I don't know if I should really even. I clicked on an ad. You know, these are just bad ideas. I will say that as long as you do it with ExpressVPN, you're only limiting your losses to like the credit card number you're giving them, right? With ExpressVPN, they're going to protect you from a lot of different things, you know, all sorts of spying and spyware and malware and all that. Plus, the fact that, you know, it's your data. Like, you shouldn't have to be giving it up to people you don't want to give it up to. This is an easy-to-use app that encrypts and reroutes all of your online traffic through secure servers, making it virtually impossible to hack your connection. And whether you're having, you know, if you're at a coffee shop, I'm going to be tomorrow, I'm going on a flight, I'm going to be in airports, I'll be using ExpressVPN. Number one, I'll be using it because I want to protect myself over public Wi-Fi. Number two, I'll be using it because it's freaking easy to use. You can put it up to 8 devices simultaneously, and it is legitimately a single button push. Just press the button, it turns on, and you are protected. There's never been a better time to stay safe this holiday season, because right now you can use my special link to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN for free. Go to expressvpn.com/stew. Take advantage of this right now. It's a special offer. expressvpn.com/stew. Get 3 months absolutely free. expressvpn.com/stew. Couple of Trump policies that I like. Let me give them to you here. Trump eyes privatizing U.S. Postal Service, citing financial losses. Now, there's always a concern with this because it is kind of mentioned in the Constitution that the U.S. Can establish a post office. It is true. It doesn't really specify how it works, though. So if they were to, you know, as long as they have something and they can outsource it to the private markets, which would, of course, make it run a lot more efficiently, I think that would be a good thing. And I don't see why we don't just pull the trigger on that. We will see if Donald Trump does that when he's in office. He also wants to end daylight savings time, which, again, I kind of agree with. And not because, like, I think it has a necessarily a negative effect on my life from day to day, but more like I just can't wrap my brain about, we're just changing time? Like, what do you mean we're changing time? What do you mean we're changing it by an hour? Like, it's supposed to be like a measure of, we're supposed to know what time it is. Like, just do the thing you want to do an hour later or earlier. Like, I don't understand why we just adjust time, bending it to our whims for this ridiculous reason. A bunch of countries do this now. I just don't like it. I just don't like the idea that you're going to change time. Time seems to be like almost like a scientific measure. You know, you're supposed to be able to measure things in time. And it does seem to me to be a little strange that we just change it by an hour a couple times a year. We will see if Donald Trump gets that done as well. He's got a full plate, and a lot of it's coming soon, probably like in the first week he's in office. Well, Merry Christmas. This is actually tomorrow's my last show of the year. And after that show ends, I will be flying up to New York City with the kids to kind of do a few days in New York for Christmas, showing them sort of the Christmas thing in New York City, which, you know, what I want to do is introduce them to lots of pot smell. And then when the smell of the marijuana kind of wafts by, then you have the smell of the homeless people. So it's really, really nice. I think a great present from mommy and daddy. But, you know, of course, New York City is really special around the holidays. It's one of the coolest things you can do. And if you ever get a chance to do it, it's worth it. It's not I mean, look, you might get murdered. We might get murdered. I hope we don't get murdered. But, you know, it's not that bad. You should be able to get through the day if you ever have the chance to do it. It's worth it around the holidays. So we're going to do that. We're going to be gone for a few days there. And we come back. I'm going to do Christmas here. And then we will rejoin you very early on in January. So a couple weeks off, but we'll see you then. I wanted to alert you, though, on Christmas Day, if you go to the Stu Does America YouTube channel, youtube.com/Stu Does America, we are doing 24 hours of A Christmas Twist. Yes, the stupid Christmas movie that we air every single year, making fun of the Hallmark movies. You'll love that. It's on youtube.com/Stu Does America. Check it out.